Hey everybody, welcome back to another lovely episode of the Over Sharon Show. We have a guest and we'll get to that in a minute, but first I am going to read a quote. Today's quote is, "The best teachers are those who show you where to look, but don't tell you what to see." And that's by Alexandra K. Trenfor. What's up, Sharon? How are you doing today?
Hey, sorry. Yeah. Yo. My voice sounds a little weird. I'm getting through a detox, shall we say.
Nice. It's all those cigars you're smoking.
Feeling so much better than I was the last few days. Yeah, no cigars here. Now you're choking. Jeez.
I'm not even smoking. This was sitting here from the other night. I got some really nice cigars from a wedding, so I was enjoying one the other night while I was working on stuff. Yeah.
Awesome. Anyway. Well, I'm pulling the card.
All right, cool.
Here we go. Ooh, this is my card, yo.
Ooh, 11. Judgment.
Justice.
Or justice, I'm sorry. How do you say that?
Libra, dude, and it's Libra season, and I'm a Libra.
Oh, yeah.
And you're a Libra ascendant.
Yes. That's really synchronistic. Rising. Really cool. I like Justice. It's a really good card because in the path of the major arcana, it's right after the Wheel of Fortune. And I just talked about this in an episode that I did with Sammy on the Brandon Bonanza Show. By the way, check that out. I've been killing it lately with live streams. I've had all kinds of great guests on. So, and more coming. I just booked Berserker Bear. I'm so excited. I've been wanting to talk to him forever. And we're finally going to do that. I'm not sure when this comes out in relation to that, but just go check out our channel. There's tons of gravy and good episodes. Why watch TV when you could watch all of our shows? But yeah, it's a good, cause it comes right after the Wheel of Fortune and it represents, I think, kind of a point in your life where you're living more in balance with nature and you're just starting to see it more. So it makes sense and you're living that way. And it's an 11. So that's great. But anyway, today's guest is Pat from the Pat Life podcast. Too many P's there. I can't talk. And I'm really excited with him also because we've been corresponding for a while and trying to get him on episode. And we finally lined up all our schedules, except for Sharon has to run out really quick. So Sharon's going to go fix some stuff in her house.
I'll be right back.
All right, cool. We're going to talk about you. Anyway, what's up, Pat? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Happy to be here. Excited to talk some gravy, talk about whatever was on your guys' mind.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited too. The first thing I really wanted to find out from you is, I think I've heard this. I don't know if it's a rumor though, but what got you into this? I heard that you were going to talk to, now his mind's blanking. The guy from Australia. That's
Barnett.
Yeah, Steve Barnett, right?
Tom Barnett.
Sorry, it's a Sunday. I'm a little, Tom Barnett. I've actually been following him for quite a while. And I corresponded with him back in the day a few times on Instagram. He's a really cool guy. I love him, especially when it comes to the law stuff and the health stuff. I have a friend in Australia, Kaylee, who's actually been on my show a bunch of times, and I always point her toward him. Because he's going through similar stuff with the law and like trying to stand your ground basically and not conform with any of this nonsense that's happened in the past couple of years. He's been a great resource. But is this rumor true? Is that how you got started?
Yeah, man. So essentially, part of the bear community since 2000, probably 16, but actually continually listening since 2017, just like everyone else, pretty much in the quiet, a sideline, and then just trying to take in all the information that was being thrown in, learning a little bit about what it meant to be in like the bear community is like an actual like what's the word I'm looking for, you're actually a member giving back to trying to help one another, all that jazz. So anyway, I found him through there, listening to that, then obviously all the stuff happened in 2020, all that jazz, and it had to have been like the fall of that 2020. I was like, man, a lot of gravy, a lot of good stuff. And since my background's in personal training, and he was talking about his background and like doing that stuff, I was like, you know what? I'm going to reach out to him. He's got a lot of interesting things that are aligning with where my, my career of how I see things is, and, you know, connecting with that. So I was like, hey, dude, would you be happy to chat? I'd pay you for like a session basically just to like learn from you. Didn't want to even think about like actually like doing a full on podcast, but maybe I wasn't clear in what I was saying, or he was just so used to responding to people saying, yeah, I'll do your podcast, that he was like, yeah, man, no worries. I'll do your podcast. Let's do it. Let's set up a date. And I was like, oh man, dude, I didn't say this to him. I was like, all right, I guess I have a podcast now. Let's go. We're going to do this thing, man. So anyway, I just literally like anyone else, kind of got my computer set up, had no like equipment, was like, I didn't even know how to like set up a YouTube page really. I was just like, whatever, dude, let's go with the flow of this and see what happens. And, you know, he was kind enough to do the first three episodes just because I literally was like, I don't have no one else lined up. I didn't know what to talk about. I just wanted to, again, learn some stuff. And yeah, like anything else, man, just you kind of take, you know, you take what life gives you, you go with it. And now it's become what it is, and it's continually growing, and it's awesome, man. I that's the beauty of, I know you guys are like in the spiritual side, but the present moment, hence Pat Life, present awareness. I'm all about that training, that knowing how to be in the present moment, because most of us aren't. And we could talk more about that if you want. But ultimately it's taking this moment to go, all right, man, life is handing me something. What do I do with it? You know, and then you can take it whatever, which way you want. But yeah, so that's how it started. So the rumors are true. I talk about all the time on my show too.
Oh, that's great. I love it. What a way to begin. It's just like, well, I guess I have to start a podcast now if I want to talk to this guy. And then you just ended up loving it and you keep doing it. Yeah, that's amazing. And I really love that about the present moment, because you don't even have to talk about spirituality with people, but the present moment is really where it's at. And you think about this society, everybody's so stuck in the future or the past. And I think that, you know, it doesn't matter how you get that message out there, because a lot of people aren't as interested in quote unquote spirituality or some of these concepts. So when you just talk about the present moment, it's really a great way to get people to improve their life, really. Because I always tell them, like, you know, the future doesn't exist and the past is just a story that we tell ourselves, basically, you know. It's, and totally, if you can learn to disconnect from both of those and just get into this present moment, life, I know for me anyway, life has been so much better. And I could give you a little bit of a background on my podcasting experience. This way Sharon doesn't miss really too much while she's running out there, but totally. I started podcasting in 2014. I started doing stand-up comedy in 2013, locally around here. I live in Connecticut, so I would do open mics in Connecticut, and then I'd go to New York City, because I don't know about now, but back in those days, you can hit like four or five open mics in one day if you timed it right, because they started at like 4 p.m. and they went all the way to like 10 or 11 o'clock. So it was really fun. I'd go there with a group of people, just bounce around, and I used to listen to Rogan a lot. It's funny because I still quote him. I'm like, as Joe Rogan says, you know, even though I don't listen to him anymore. But he was kind of instrumental. Well, I'll just say his influence was into getting me to finally do comedy and then to get me into podcasting. So I had a podcast with a friend that was similar to that. And then there was this other comedian who had been doing it for probably like 10 years at that point, maybe 8 to 10 years. And he was more of a headliner, and he wanted to start a show, but he didn't have any equipment. So I was like the kid in the neighborhood with the football, you know? So he's like, let's start a show. And he is very like gruff and always talking a lot. So I had a show with him, and I had to learn how to just kind of keep my mouth shut and then speak when I had to, which is great, because I like to talk a lot too, but it taught me how to actually be a good host, really. I didn't even realize that's what was happening. And so I continued with that for a while, I think till about 2018. And around then he kind of figured out to go his own way, and I was doing my own thing anyway. And by that time I was getting into a lot more different subjects, more like, I guess you could say, conspiracy. You know, I was watching Owen Benjamin, but I was also looking into other people and studying a lot of symbolism and psychology. And like, you know, so people, he didn't really want to hear about, I mean, there's people that wanted to hear about it, but those people weren't as interested. So then 2020 hit, and I was actually live streaming. I had a 3-part series planned in the beginning of 2020, like around that time. And I just did an episode, and I called it, I think it was Corona End Times 2, because I was calling it the End Times, because I'm like, are we in the End Times? And I was just, I didn't really think we were in the End Times, but I was comparing it to all these stories in the Bible. And I was like, this is just a cycle that happens. We're in the end times of a kind of like a our civilization or whatever it is, our way of living. And I, the first one was about war. And the second one I entitled Corona 2, or no, End Times 2, Corona Boogaloo. And then like a week later, everything shut down. I was like, oh, I guess I was right about this. And then I had some of these internet famous doctors. I was able to talk to them, and we had some different, I guess you could say, like journalists on, and there was like a roundtable discussion going on. Actually, one of those got taken down, and I didn't even know it was funny. But talked to
have on?
Judy Mikovits, Dr. Buttar, Andy Kaufman, or Kaufman. I always say Kaufman, and yeah,
He's on this. He'll be on my show this month too.
Oh, that's awesome! I didn't get to talk to him as much, a little bit, but. Because the guy we had on, I kind of just introduced it and then let them have a conversation, but it still, I was part of it. It was fun. And then I talked to, who's the water guy? What is his name?
Wiseman?
No. He also talks about the heart. I'd have to look it up. I'm
Tom Cowan.
Yeah. Cowan. Because, go ahead.
So I train his son in personal training, and there might be some stuff where I do my world of training mixing with his new business endeavor. So I actually talked to him on Tuesday. So small world.
Yeah. I saw a thing that you're going to be talking to him. That's amazing. Yeah. I, great dude. I was in touch with this guy who put me in touch with Marcy Cravat. I'm not sure if you ever heard of her, but she makes documentaries, and he is, Tom Cowan is actually her doctor. So she spoke with him, and it was a time where he wasn't really giving any interviews about this. He just, I guess, didn't want to talk to a lot of people. There was like a famous 10 or 15 minute clip of him breaking down terrain theory that was circling. And I saw that and I was like, whoa. So yeah, we got to talk to him. It was really cool. Awesome, he talked all about that stuff. And then, so I wasn't recording that much though. After that, I had moved, and in 2020, I don't know what it was. There was just, I just had this like mental block or something I wanted to, but I just couldn't figure out what I wanted to record about. And I wrote a book in between the end of 2020 and the beginning of 2021. And then I got on Beartaria Times. I mean, I'd been following Owen since he made an appearance on Part of the Problem with Dave Smith, because I was a big Dave Smith fan back in the day. And I'd watched him on and off. And because I didn't totally agree with the way he saw the world, I would just be like, once in a while when I needed comedy, I'd watch him. And then when 2020 hit, I was like daily watching him because he was just hilarious. And I think my aperture, point of view, or whatever you want to say, my worldview shifted. And now I honestly don't care about, you know, it's like Owen was saying the other day, he's like, how come you got to say, I like Owen Benjamin. I don't agree with everything he says. He's like, why do you got to say that? He's like, just say you like Owen. So yeah. I like Owen, you know, he's freaking hilarious. I mean, I'm a giant fan of comedy. I honestly think he is the funniest comedian there is right now. That's just because he talks about stuff. People try to drag me to a comedy club now, and I'm like, guys, I can't. You don't understand. I might get kicked out because I'll be like, why aren't you talking about the masks? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm just, you know, like, who cares about this stuff? You know.
Well, what's interesting is that, go ahead. You know, and not to just toot his horn, but in reality, like when you do listen, what you don't see a lot with comedy now is the process of how jokes are formed. And when you are part of like that creative endeavor, whether it's, cause I also have a background in film and television. I write screenplays. So I have a lot of stuff with that. Was in the acting world as well, was in the B system doing that, but in New York instead of LA. But all that to be said, there's something really, really fun about being part of the creative process. So when you see an idea come to life, whether it's a comedy bit, you know, a film, TV show, sketch, whatever it may be, music. But what's fun about him is that when you do watch the show, you see one, not only how he brings these ideas, you could see the wheels turning with like, okay, there's something funny here. But as an audience or people, you know, there, he's using everybody's, you know, humor to help build it. And he's very open about like, look, we made this joke. we're making this, you know, I'm just kind of fine tuning it. I'm finding where it goes. And then, but it's not just about, like you said, when you go to a comedy club, it's the same things like over and over again. Like he's finding ways to make different topics intertwined. And it's also, again, it can get a little bit what mainstream now is considered raunchy. And that's, but it's not like, as we know with like the Caitlyn Jenner, it's like, you're just saying something 2 years in advance of everybody else. But it is very funny to watch how everyone's like, oh my gosh, that's so absurd. That's so, I can't believe you're saying this. And it's just reality. It's going, you're just, like you said, it's ahead of the curve. And when people can see that and are part of the creative process, seeing it kind of unfold and manifest, you're like, for me, that's what makes it so funny, because, and it's also just exciting, because you're like, man, we witnessed that coming to life, you know, coming from this idea, this thought, you know, all around us. You know, some people call it the ether, some people call it whatever, you know, it's just coming from somewhere within into the vessel, and then bringing itself into this material realm. And that's cool for me. Like, that's what makes it also that much more funnier, because it, you know, you feel more connected to it, whether or not you actually had any hand in the creative process. You're just like, man, I saw him getting those wheels turning. So anyway, that makes it even better for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally agree. Especially because he has that chat room, and it's kind of like a writer's room. And then he also I'll say fake spiral for comedy purposes on people. You know, sometimes people will take him seriously, or whatever. But it's great because it's kind of like his co-host, but he doesn't have a co-host. He just has the chat with all the people that he knows, and then some people that he doesn't know. And yeah, for sure, he definitely is ahead of the curve when it comes to a lot of stuff. And it was amazing to really watch his whole process with all that, like from the first days where he just kind of had YouTube going and he's like meeting Connington and talking to all these people. And like, then he's out by a fire, and now he has it where stuff happens and it doesn't even faze him. He's like, oh yeah, I just got kicked off of Spotify, or, you know, my wife just got kicked off of Airbnb or whatever, and all these things. Yeah. And he sees the greater good in it, or at least that's what he tries to focus on, which I really, really do appreciate. So I got onto Beartaria Times in 2021. I met Sharon, and she saw a show. There she is. I knew you were going to come in when I said I met
Sharon. Dude, that's so crazy. Dude, I was standing outside talking to my brother because he's looking at my water heater.
Go ahead.
Anyway, I was like, I'm like, everything's perfect. Everything's perfect. Like, cause I'm like, go, go, go. Like, let's be done here. And I'm like, everything's perfect. And I walk in at the perfect time. Nice. Yo.
Yeah. That's hilarious. I was just kind of giving a background story on us, and he was speaking, and I was thinking about that. I'm like, I bet when I say Sharon, she's going to walk in. That's so funny. So short story long story short, she had saw an episode I'd recorded with somebody else, and she was really interested. So she hit me up on BTA. She was asking me questions, and she was just getting into a lot of the stuff that I had studied for the past few years. So I was like, well, instead of talking about all this, why don't we record it? So finally I got her to record something after a little while. And I was like, you know what? We could just throw it away if you don't like it. But she loved it, and the rest is history. Now we've been going for over a year every week. So
that's awesome. And so are you guys married? Did I hear that right? Are you just a co-host?
No, that's cool. It's just funny. We're just friends. She actually just met somebody though, which is amazing, at the Bear Fest. Yeah. She wants to marry me, but I keep telling her no. No, I'm just kidding. She actually, though, it's funny you said that, because we do have a really great relationship, but she's more like my sister. It's really crazy how that happened. And a lot of people actually ask us that, if there's any kind of romantical thing. And I go, no, it's funny, because from the time I met her, we just clicked really well. And then she kind of became like the sister that I never had, because I have two younger brothers. Yeah.
And cool. Funny, one time somebody asked me who watched the show, are you guys siblings? Like, is he your brother?
We're siblings.
That's the beauty of it, man. That's part of the BT app, and just like the community. It's like people coming together in the most authentic ways. Like, it's authentic in our mind, but I think it's all part of our own journeys and paths. So that's what's really cool about it too, man. The amount of, like, again, businesses that are built, like business relationships, work relationships, family relationships, you know what I mean? Like, it's awesome to see it unfold, man. And that's what's cool. Like, I don't know if you guys seen any of the episodes. So obviously, you know, Anchor Bear, he's my sidekick, but he in reality actually does way more than I do. And I say that like in the best way possible, because he's like made our show what it is. And it's only been growing because a lot of his stuff. But quick backstory, I had Anchor on before he was actually a part of like the production aspect. I asked him to come on my show. I hadn't seen him, don't know anything about him other than just Anchor Bear, right? Music, Anchor Bear, all that jazz. So that being said, he comes on the show. We're talking. Within like the first 5 minutes, he was like, I'm like, oh, where are you from? And he goes, and he didn't have his screen on, so I couldn't see him. I didn't know what he looked like. He goes, yeah, man, I grew up in the Chicagoland area, and I'm from Chicago. So I'm like, sweet, where are you from, man? And he goes, oh, it's just like a town outside of Chicago. And I go, well, I'm from Chicago, so where is it? And he goes, near Naperville. I'm like, dude, I grew up near Naperville. He's like, I went to Downers Grove. I go, what? Me too, man. That's where I grew up. What high school? He goes, Downers Grove North. And I go, no shit. And I go, and he goes, are you Pat Daly? Like Pat Daly North, Pat Daly. And I go, yeah, who are you, dude? Like, I don't have my mind. And he goes, bro, oh my gosh. Like, you 100% know me. And I saw his name, and I won't go into, I won't explain. I saw his real name on the screen, kind of like yours when you have yours. And I'm like, I know that name, but he took a different last name. His another person, his family's last name. I won't give too much info. So it wasn't his name in high school, like his last name. He took a different last name. All that being said, I was like, so you'll see in our first episode, like the absolute shock. So we grew up together. Like I played baseball. Like I grew like middle school. I like played elementary baseball with him, like sports. We went to different middle school. Oh, we went to the same middle school. And then the same high school, same year, everything like no, 100% know each other. So we've always laughed about it. So talk about small world. Anyway, but like how the community brings people together, and you're just
that's a huge small world.
Oh, totally. And I mean, like I'm living in Hawaii. He's in the South. So it's like just a small world, man. And it's an incredible thing when you have a community like this of people, like all of us just trying to like do the right thing, build and grow. And all of a sudden you start having, you know, old friends you meet for the first time. And also you have old friends that you reconnect with. And that's what's really cool about it. And it's not like, oh, reconnecting in all the worst ways of like, oh, you know, your life's crumbling, my life's crumbling, let's crumble together. It's like, you're crushing, I'm crushing, let's use each other's, you know, crush meter to just bring it to the next level. And it's pretty awesome. But anyway, I always think that's a cool story to share.
Yeah, that's really amazing, because you guys had all this camaraderie and then you just went your separate ways. And if it wasn't for this community, who knows if you'd ever reconnect. And then because you were both basically spiraling upwards, you just hit this comedian who's, you know, has this high vibration basically. And then you just link back up and now you're doing work together. That's great.
Totally. Wow. It really is. It just goes to show you how small of a world we live in. And that for me is like what makes this whole, not to veer too far, but like the spiritual journey about everything. It's you realize how much more connected we all are than we realize. And this, like, even like you being like, oh, you know, she's going to walk in, and then all of a sudden Sharon walks in and you're just like, it's like those sinks or those like coincidences are all the time, just knowing how to like tap into it. Anyway, I always find that so fascinating.
And that's what blows my mind when people think this is all random. You know, I'll tell a quick story that Sharon already knows. I was in the Marine Corps for 4 years and I was in Italy on my birthday, on my 21st birthday. We were in Italy for like 6 months or whatever. And my birthday is July 2nd. So they had 4th of July celebrations going on. I think it was the weekend or whatever. And they had a band, and I was on an Air Force base, but we were on like near the flight line. They kept all the Marines in these big tents. It was nice though. And they had a band, which we didn't go to that or whatever, but we went to, they had one tent that was the officer's lounge or whatever. It was like a bar. We weren't ever allowed in there, but because we were all enlisted, but it was my birthday. So like, yeah, come on in. And I'm in there and they're like, oh, the band's here. And they're like, you're from Connecticut, right? They're from Connecticut. So I'm like, no way. So I was talking to the guy and I was like, I'm from Milford. And he's like, oh, I'm from Stratford, which is the next town over. And I was like, oh, man, my uncle used to be in a band in Stratford. And the guy's like, what's your uncle's name? And I'm like, Brian Kane. And he turned white. He's like, I know Brian Kane. He's like, wow. I was in his wedding. He's like, you're little Brandon. Yeah. And I'm in Italy and I run into this guy. He was freaking hammered. It was hilarious. But
It's yeah. Small world, dude.
It nuts, a, right?
And that's why, and maybe you guys have this too, like over the years and just all of this information, all of these little sinks that happen for me, that's it's put me in a state of like paying attention, like really now paying attention to every interaction of person I meet in my life. I really emphasize my thought process of like after meeting them of like, not like, why did I meet him? Why did I have to meet him? But it's going like, what was I feeling during that experience? What was that relationship? What, yeah, like what came about it? Do I feel energetic? Do I feel a little bit off put? Like, and just more so for me, because it's like, there's something that's there. There's something that's going to click. There's something that's going to possibly blossom. And if it's not like, like we're working together or we're becoming best friends, or it's going like, I learned something about myself in that moment, how to handle a situation. Like that's how I kind of perceive those moments, because yeah, you do, like, you just like, you know how you always get to a point in your life and you're like with people you love or whatever, you go, how do we get here? So if, and people go like, if you didn't do this, if I didn't take that right, if I didn't do all yada, 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 we wouldn't like, we would have never met, or we would have never had that exchange. And it's funny because last night, just we're sitting watching with my fiance, her and I were watching The Adjustment Bureau. And that's obviously a grappled version of like, you know, the whole situation, but it is that mindset of like certain things are meant to happen along your path. And, you know, you have very much, you know, fate and choice and, you know, all that stuff. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting because it's, it is so true, is when you take a minute to realize, you're like, if we didn't have that exchange, would we be here? And then for me, it just going, doesn't matter. I'm grateful that we're here. You know what I mean? I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm grateful for these moments. Cause that's, yeah, what you put in the world is what you get. So
that's anyway, a total sink. Yeah. The whole, like, how did we get here? Cause yeah. Like Cody and I have been saying that to each other. Like, how did we meet? How did we do this? How did we get here? Who are you?
Yeah. Right. What's your name again? Yeah. Cody. Oh man, I can never get that right. But so true. It's so true. And, I mean, is that what you guys talk a lot about on your show? Like these types of conversations, or what do you guys usually dive into?
Go ahead, Sharon.
A lot. I mean, we go into spirituality a lot, but I feel like our discussions are mainly around like life purpose, like self-healing, healing our wounds so that we can raise our quote vibration, be better versions of ourselves, and heal the world. I don't know. Nice. What do you think, Brandon?
We talk a lot about victim consciousness too. You know, we're always hammering people about that stuff. Like we talk about division a lot. We talk about just, we had a whole couple episodes about it, but we bring it up a lot too, where there's just all these lines of division in society. So one of our things, a message that we like to pass on to people is that, you know, you have like round earther, flat earther, you have like Christians and you have Muslims, or you know, some Christians that are this flavor of Christianity or this brand or whatever. And it's like, well, our thing is, as long as you're living in accordance with the golden rule, or however you want to say it, in accordance with nature, and you're doing unto others and all that, that's what's important. And then the rest of this stuff, we can have a fun conversation about, or we can debate in a fun way. But other than that, I'm on your side. You know, like, right. I think we need to find that common ground, because there's so many, even like politics and sports teams and like, you know, what kind of car you drive and what kind of clothes you wear, all these ways that people, men and women, find to kind of like make themselves different from other people. And I'm like, no, I think we should focus on what we have in common. So that's right. One of our big threads that we talk about. We also talk about Realm Earth, which I am like still on the tip of trying to figure out what it is. But because I've been saying lately, I even might debate. I guess there's this guy that will debate. He's a flat earther and he debates anybody. And our friend Austin was telling me about this guy. And we know him through James, because James from Grounded Extracts and Austin have a show. Mm-hmm. Shout out to them. It's called The Mellow Dome. And I was like, I'd love to go on there. Not that I don't think we're on a spinning ball, but because I want to debate the fact that I don't think it's a flat physical plane, like you say. I'm like, it's a realm, you know, like, and I want to explain exactly what that is. And the long and the short of that is, I don't care if anyone's a globe earther or a flat earther or whatever, you know, a simulation theory, whatever you believe, it's fine. But my thing is with all those three, they all come from materialism. If you look at the end of the day, it's all materialism. And materialism is just a mindset that somebody, or you want to keep somebody in if you want to keep them a slave, you know?
Right. So. Well, what's interesting about that conversation, and, you know, most people who I've talked to who are like, oh, I'm a flat earther, why are you so connected to it? And it's like, well, because we're being lied to. I get it. It's also what I hear is, they're taking us away from that understanding of God. And it's going, okay. And this is what's interesting for me in my world about training is going like, are you connected with your breath? Like, do you move your body? Do you have gratitude? Do you know how to be under physical stress? Utilize all the components of this gift that you've been given with this vessel. And a lot of people don't do that. They're not connected there. So what it's just going is we realize, at least for me, similar to what you're kind of saying, and I'm like, I'm not falling in either category. Like, it's something. Obviously, I think there's like a discernment in this idea of the globe mindset. I think it's more vortex-like, like an energetic vortex, the toroidal field mindset. But all being said, it's going like we're fighting about something that has nothing to do with really like the core essence of it. It's like, okay, we're talking. It's like, you know, you're more, you know, it's a flat earth and you've been lied to and it's keeping you from God. And it's going like, okay, well, no, this is what the professionals say. You're dumb. And in the reality, it's like going like, guys, both of you have purpose here. Both of you are in this vessel that is way more than you could ever imagine. This is what it's doing. It's keeping you from both doing that. You're still going and eating McDonald's, or you're still being a flat earther. And a lot of people are going like, I'm dependent on naturopaths instead. And, you know, no disrespect, but you're just depending on somebody else. You're depending on this person. At the end of the day, there's still dependencies. And I'm not saying it's everybody, but it's going like, if you're so connected to, you said, a globe or a flat earther, and it's just like, you're fighting about that, but you're not even taking care of your own being, or you aren't willing to take the first steps. It's just going, you guys literally are just doing the same thing. You're just two sides of this spectrum and you're both at the same exact point. And that's where, for me, I don't even like talk about it anymore, just because I'm like, to your point about the spirit and like people not connecting or not understanding spirituality as much, or like, oh, okay, here we go with this person talking spirituality. I realized that too with my personal training, and it's going, majority of people, if we look at it from like the mind, body, and spirit, when not in my world, you're never talking about the spirit. Like, you're like, oh, just breathe, like cool down, breath. It's not like something that is engaged in conversations, talking about what is the biomechanics of this body? What is rep count? What is, you know, a good like resting phase? What's a good, output? Like all these things that are very, you know, modern science. And it's also about like, oh, get in the right mindset, you know, dedicate, motivate, and all those things have their place. But it's like majority of people don't understand the importance of that breath and that spirit, the present moment. So my point in all this is going, I put all this attention into the physical body because you try to tell someone spiritual, like esoteric thoughts or things that are out there, they're like, if they're not ready for it, they're going to be like, dude, deuces, man, you're crazy, man. And I'm like, I get it. So now what I do in my thought process is going, well, you're still spirit. It's a huge component of you. It's also what makes up, in my understanding, a lot of this dis-ease you're feeling because you don't have that spirit. So what I start to do is put people in positions of physical stress and I get them to know how to connect with the breath. And it's then going, when they do things and they go through these, what I call alchemical transformations, very subtle, but they go, whoa, what was that? Or whoa, how did that happen? How could I actually physically do that? What in the world? And it's nothing crazy. It's these subtle things, but that enters a whole new entrance of going like, well, you have this breath. This is the importance of the breath. This is yada, yada, yada. This is understanding of vortexes. This is understanding of blood. This is understanding of how the body's self-healing. It's a perfect design. And they go, wait a second. Not only are you just telling me this stuff, now you're starting to get into this little bit of the spirituality and all this jazz. And then you're taking a step further of going like, oh, I've already gone through this physical experience of it. And now all of a sudden you can open the conversation for a lot of these people who aren't going to hear that. They go, oh, I went through that. I went through that alchemical process, that alchemical change. And now most people are that, at least in my world, that aren't, they're a little more receptive. They're willing to go, oh, I'll take a little bit of that gravy that you're dripping, and it makes it better. So we're not, you know, going back and forth complaining about, you know, flat earth, this or that. It's going like, look, just be in your body, learn how to be under that physical stress, and then use that to hopefully deal with your mental, emotional stresses and knowing how to engage with it. So that was my rant.
Oh, really awesome. Really great stuff. I mean, we talk about spirit, or I guess spiritual stuff, emotional stuff, having to do with dis-ease as well. Like, right, if you haven't healed certain wounds, they're going to manifest in your body as dis-ease. Right. And you won't realize it necessarily, because you're just thinking, oh, something's wrong with me, or it's genetic, or it's this, right, or it's that. And maybe it is, but maybe it has something to do with a wound you haven't wanted to heal, or a wound, right, that you don't even realize you have, that you still have.
And that's what's interesting about with my job. You know, you talk to Balderson, you talk to anyone who's doing these water, you know, gravy, is that, you know, within the body, it holds memory. They say the water holds memory. Some, you know, Balderson says it's the salt that holds memory, all this stuff. Ultimately, within our body, there's memory that's being stored and held, whether it's good or bad. But what's interesting is my job is when I put people in doing these things, this very specific style of movement and training and mindset and control and focus, I get a lot of people without fail who will do something very simple, but say they have a knee injury. We put them in a position where we're just kind of on that threshold of where the knee's sending the signal to the brain and everything going, don't do this. And we just breathe. Mm-hmm. Majority of the time, people come out of it and start to cry, or they get really, really, exactly, emotional, or they'll say, hey, why am I getting emotional right now? Mm-hmm. I go, okay, well, let me ask you a question. What are you thinking? What are you thinking about? And then they'll tell me that brought them back to the injury. It'll bring them back to, you know, we're divorced. It brought them back to something. So literally we'll teleport them, transport their mind to this place, but they're reliving it. As we know, a lot of times that's how memories play out. So what's interesting is then going, okay, well, now we're in that. You've teleported, you're there. You're telling me you're there. Emotionally, you're physically living it right now. So we need to breathe. We need to know how to breathe through that. Be in it, as you said. And that's why I use the physical so much. And I realized, at least in my mind, of like, ding, 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 this is the bridge for the majority of our population, because most people want to work out. They want to look good. They want to feel good. You know, it doesn't matter if you're globe earth or flat earth or this or that. It's everybody wants to somewhat feel good. And the majority of people are in pain. They don't want to be in pain. Mm-hmm. It hurts, physical pain. Mm-hmm. So I realize this is a great opportunity to know how to bridge that gap of going like, yeah, you could talk about, and then I'm with you, 100% agree with, but you guys have like the emotional, spiritual stuff. Like, how do we heal those wounds? How do you go about it? And most people, like you said, it's hard to just go into it. The minute they think about it, they stop breathing, or they panic, or they stress, you know, they stress themselves out. Because what happens is they're living in it for an extended period of time. If something happened when they were 10 years old, let's just say, and they can't let that go, or they're like, I can't get back to that because now I'm going to be living that for a long time, or I can't, now it's going to be on my mind for a while. I use the physical because it's the most immediate intense response. And once it's gone, people are out of it. They can move on. Like if you're doing like, say I'm having you hold a plank, mm-hmm, middle of the plank, you're going to be like, oh God, get me out of here. This sucks. And then once you're out of it, you're like, oh my God, I'm glad it's over. So it's this hit of stress and then it's out. Now it's just essentially going, okay, use that, using the physical to do that, breathe through it. When the memories start to flood in, breathe through it. So now you're in the physical. You're like, oh my gosh, I need to get out of this. Slow it, everything down, all the thoughts, be in the present moment. You come out of it, know how to come out controlled. Now people go, man, I feel the endorphin rush. I feel good. I felt I could handle the stresses that came into my life because I had control. That's why I always tell everybody when they're under stress, I go, you're in control right now. We've set you up. You're in control of everything that's going to happen moving forward. In this movement, under the stress, you are in full control. And that for a lot of people helps them, because then they're like, dude, it, now I can handle this, the emotional stuff that maybe I was pushing away, because one, I feel I have more in my, you know, my artillery here. Two, it's already coming up when I'm moving. So it's already presenting itself as I'm in physical movement, because I, now I'm thinking about it. So now, as you're telling me to breathe, once it's there, I breathe into it. I breathe life into it. I breathe calmness into it. And literally, you know, it's not like over one session, but over time people go, dude, I don't know what the hell you're doing to me, but this is awesome. And I'm just going, dude, all we're doing is getting you back to the design in which you were created and knowing the power within yourself. Hence why I don't care to talk about the flat earth of what's really flat. I enjoy the gravy when we're just shooting the shit, but I don't need to debate anybody.
I concur. Yeah. Debating is just ridiculous. But yeah, I was going to say, Brandon, were you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, there's multiple ways to skin a cat, as they say, you know, bad pun or whatever. I don't want to say. But the way you're just, it's just one way. The way you're doing is just one way, right? And like Eileen McCusick, for example, uses the tuning forks and tuning 100%. The biofield, but they're all a way to clear people's wounds, and they respond differently, you know.
100%.
They're still going, some people will still go back to that emotion, that original emotion, and they'll let it go. They'll be able to it go. Mm-hmm. No matter how you skin that cat, you're able to clear those old wounds and start healing.
Absolutely. And just to piggyback, I'm all for like the bio tuning. I just had, you know, Chance Garten on, who does it. Like, I think they're all great modalities, but as I was saying earlier with Brandon being like, oh, this idea of spirituality or this energetic healing, like, again, I'm looking at it more of like, I'm so used to the mainstream mindset of people.
Oh, absolutely.
So for me, absolutely. It's like, that's just like the niche that of understanding
gap.
Exactly. So, and I'm with you. There's so many ways to go about it. And I think it's important for people to explore what works best for them.
Absolutely.
I just use this avenue because I'm like, I want to get the person who's like, I got, you know, I'm four jabs in, I got, you know, 18 masks and, you know, I, you know, anything that, you know, Fauci says or whatever one of these people says, like, must be true. I want them to be the kind of person who walks away from it going like, not like Pat, you did it. You saved my life. Like, that's not it. It's just going, I have a little bit of a different, you know, view of how my body moves. Mm-hmm. And it's not dependent on other people. It's not dependent on me. It's not dependent. It's just going, I can now look at my body a little different today. Mm-hmm. That's the people that I'm trying to talk to, purely not because I'm trying to save them. If they decide to keep doing it, then by all means. But at the end of the day, at least I'm, you know, doing my part in, you know, helping as many people as I can, because the people like who are like, do the bio tuning, like those people come in and they're like, tell me everything. And I'm like, this is great. Let's give you, you know, like here's this, this, and this. And they're like, yeah. But I always like, I guess the challenge of someone who's like, okay, what is this? And then you see in their eyes, they're like, okay, oh shit. Whoa. And then like, calm down. They're like, oh my God, something's happening.
Gravy overload.
Yeah. You're like, I don't even know what gravy is, but holy moly. I'm like, you're going through an experience and we are living on a globe. they're like, wait, what? No. Anyway. So I agree with you. I do agree. There's many ways to go about it, but you know, I try to look at
the basics. Your way. I mean, everybody has a different way to approach this. And I love that your way tackles the, you know, the bulk of the crowd, you know, the people.
Yep. That's my one way. The other way is just to awkwardly stare into people's eyes that are strangers and say, we're connected now. And they're like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? And I'm like, well, see you later. Leave them totally confused. They're like, I don't know what just happened. I'm like, I just healed you.
Boom.
I'm just joking. Oh, that's hilarious. But no, yeah, I think it's genius what you're doing with the physical training end of it. I never even thought about that. It's just opened my mind to so many more possibilities. Yeah, because so many people think they're like, oh, I have this truth. I could just share it with people and they're going to all get it and it's going to be great. And everyone's going to like, you know, be a breakaway society. But it's like, yeah, have you ever tried sharing some truth with people? And then you find out along my journey anyway, I found it that truth is the most offensive thing you could tell people. You know, totally. People don't want to hear that they're fat or whatever. It's like, they already know. They don't need you to tell them. that So, and it's even worse if it's a blind spot, like you said, if they're listening to the television and all the people and they worship the science gods or whatever. And yeah, it's even worse. But if you can have, if they can have an experience, and it goes back to the quote that we just said in the beginning, basically, or that I said in the beginning, which is about a true teacher is they'll show you where to look, but they don't tell you what to see. So you're not trying to tell anybody. You're just kind of saying, hey, let's have a experience here. And then you let 100%. Them go to their own comfort level. So they, you know, and then you could use the words they're comfortable with. Yeah,
exactly.
Like
exactly. Well, and that's exactly what it is. Like, for example, I had my buddy that I train, his mom came into town. She's in her 70s, really bad sciatica, surgeries up the wazoo, all these things. And she's just like limping like crazy and all this stuff. Everything I'm saying is 100% true. I'm not making any of this up for showing and entertainment. I worked with her for 2 weeks, pretty much nearly every day. So an hour a day. Within the first 3 days, she's like, she kept texting me. She's like, I cannot believe I have no sciatic pain. I've been having this for over 40 years. What the hell did you just do? And I go, I didn't do anything. I go, all we did is got you back to the way the body is naturally designed. We slowed you down. And as you said, I'll point you in the direction. What do you see? Or in my situation, what do you feel? And you realize that a lot of these pains and a lot of this stuff in the physical is just structure. A lot of times, among other things, it's not just this, is the structural imbalance. There's a perfect design that people aren't aware of. Not saying that we can't move in all these other ways, but it's just knowing that people aren't aware of the way the body is naturally meant to move and go through space and time. However we want to look at that. Albeit, it's interesting when you see people going, holy moly, it didn't take surgery to make this pain go away. It didn't take a bunch of drugs or even holistic medications to do this. It literally took, and she's still texting me. I haven't seen her in like 2 weeks because she's back home in her where she lives. She's still texting me like, dude, I still have no pain. So I'm not even with her. And this is the point I always tell people, is it's going, I'm not the one doing it. I'm giving you the direction to go, what to focus on, just teaching you, kind of reminding you to be present, focus on your breathing, and then there you go. And that's what's really fascinating for me, is going, I'm not anyone special. I'm not on the top of a mountain, you know, a guru by any means. It's literally just connecting dots and then doing exactly that. It's teaching people, like you said, they're, you know, the future doesn't exist and the past is just a memory that you've created in your mind. All you got is the present moment. What's going on in this present moment? What do you feel? Like, the amount of people who tell me they have like extreme knee pain and they can't move through it, by the end of us in 20 minutes, they're moving through their knee and sitting down, moving through it without really any problems. I'm not saying it's perfect, but they know how to find it. And it's just going, oh my gosh, I've just been moving in a way that's been towards this disease, which is causing the stress response, which is causing me to collapse the body, feel defeated, feel despair, and then just feeding this response. And all I had to do is make minor adjustments and breathe through it. And all of a sudden I feel taller. I feel lighter. I feel relaxed. I feel, holy cow, I can do a lot more. Where was this my whole life? And it's going, it was there the whole time, you know? So that's what's really fascinating for me, is being on this side, and I'm getting this, and not to like, again, toot my own horn, but I know I'm onto something, because I get messages all the time. And these are people like Bunch of the Bears. Don't even train them. I've just done like an assessment for them, or I'll like literally be like, hey, move your feet this way. I have no idea how you stand, but I'm assuming you stand like this. Is that true? Yeah. How'd you know? Doesn't matter. Just put your feet forward to do this. And then they'll text me like a week later, be like, whoa, man, like no pain at all. This is crazy. And it's going, it's not me. It's God's perfect design. I'm just trying to get people back to that. And that's how I always paint it.
Yeah, right. I can, it's even like, say, oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, it's not you. I mean, it's not me. It's you. You're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I said. But I can't make you get in this position. I can't make you calm down this position. I could just keep telling you, this is what we should, you know, I want you to start thinking about this. Put this into your field. Put this into it. What do you feel? Why do you feel that stress response? And what it's actually getting people to do for the first time, for a lot of people, at least in a long time, is be present. Because I can't tell you how many times I'll tell somebody, hey, put your foot here, do this. And they'll say, do you feel your foot on the ground? And they'll look at me like this. I always go, what's up there? What are you looking up? And obviously they're going to their mind. They're going into the headspace. You know, as we know with eye contact and eye position, they're going, they're thinking. I don't need you to think. I want you to feel that foot. Do you feel that foot on the ground? And it's not anything, I'm not doing anything magical here. Mm-hmm. I'm literally just asking, do you feel your foot? And for some people, that's the craziest request they've ever heard. Or some people, I'll say, hey, can you take a deep breath for me? Just take it, you know, or just take a normal breath, not even a deep breath. Just stand here and breathe. And the thought of someone looking at them and asking them to breathe ask them specifically to breathe. They'll look at me going, you just like breathing? Yeah, just breathing. Like in my mouth? I'm like, I don't want anything in your mouth. Please don't ever say that again. I'll just say like, just breathe how you would breathe. And you realize that people don't breathe. How many times can people be like, bro, I was in my car and I hadn't breathed for like 20 minutes. And I just, because you've been asking me to focus on it, it's crazy how much I don't breathe or even think about it. And you just assume you're breathing all this air in, all this, you know, CO2 out. And anyway, it's a fascinating thing to experience. So when you give people these little gems, they're like I walk around, like you're like a whole new world, man. So
that's crazy. What you just said made me think of, I wondered why people who walk around covering their smiling faces, why they keep doing that. And I guess now that you say that, it's like, well, they really weren't breathing in the first place, so they're still not breathing.
Yeah. So. I was just say and I realized too, I mean, we can sit, you know, I've been in the same position of like, oh man, they're NPCs. They're just doing what they're told. And I realize I'm like, they haven't been given the beauty of their breath. They haven't been able to see how much of a gift that really is.
Huge.
And that's why for me, it's part of my journey too, of like being like, screw them. It's going, nah, man, it's like the 15, 16 year old girls who are dyeing their hair blue. And you know, it's like, you know, I honestly feel empathy a little bit of like, I feel bad. Like I'm not like in a like, oh, poor you, but it's just like, you didn't have the guidance. So can we help, you know, is there a way to get that guidance? Are you willing to receive that guidance? If following a life that you want to live. And a lot of people, it's just like, they didn't even know there's something wrong with their breathing, but you get somebody who's totally wearing, like I said, the 15 mask, and they're like, man, you just helped me breathe. And now I feel like my back feels so much better. Oh, you're one of those crazy conspiracy theorists, right? Well, maybe you're onto something with this whole thing. And you know, like I've had people like, they know, some of them know where I stand on it. And they're like, that's okay, so maybe funny. This guy isn't as crazy as I thought. Cause he literally helped me facilitate my journey to not have this lower back pain that I've had my entire life, or this, you know, or this locked shoulder, as they would call it. Like, I'm willing to kind of listen to this guy a little bit more, or hear what are some of the things that he may be saying. And that's why you give him the drip of gravy. You know, it's like, oh, you know, there's lizards people. Anyway, let's do five more. I'm joking.
They're making the frogs gay. Anyway, stretch your neck out.
Yeah.
Totally making the frogs gay.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, yeah. So thanks for listening to the rants, guys. I know I'm just kind of going
on. Fine. It's great. It's lovely.
No, we're oversharing. That's why we call it Oversharing Show. We just let people overshare. Yeah.
It's totally part of
the whole. Yeah. I see a lot of these shows and people have good shows, but a lot of times they interrupt each other. And I'm always like, where was that guy going with that point? So we just let people go. And
yeah. I love that about our show, actually.
Yeah. And me, I love that about my show that I'm on it.
Yeah, it's a great thing, man. And I appreciate you guys letting me run with the thoughts.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. It always sparks a lot of good conversation. And it made me think of Lisa, Strong Mermaid. Shout out to her, who I've been following on Instagram for a while. Because I'll see little things she posts just about the way you should put your feet and how you should breathe more through your nose than your mouth. And I've been doing that. And now, when I'm walking, if I'm not putting my feet straight, I just remember to do that. Or when I'm going up the stairs or whatever. And when I stand straight up with my feet like that and I just arch my back, it's like, this is perfect, you know? Cause I'm always, especially cause I was in the Marines, I'm taught to like put my feet out at a 45 degree angle, you know, like this. And it's amazing.
She gets it. Her and I, like, if anything I'm saying, she's in, you know, lockstep with everything that I'm saying. So she's been on the show twice now. We use each other's you know, techniques, ideas and creativity of like where she's going with thoughts and ideas about the body, how she views the body and mind too. And we just constantly are just throwing ideas back and forth with each other. So yeah, she's, you know, the Stronger Mermaid is a fantastic
that's a
account. Yeah. Lisa crushes. She's super smart too. Like, you know, everyone's always like, oh, you know, I have this new idea. I'm like, dude, she's taking it more and more. And I'm like, you're right there with her. Just like, this is awesome, man. Because in our field specifically, not that there aren't, you get like a lot of people are in the yoga mindset. You get a lot of people in, you know, the mainstream mindset, and, you know, you get people in the spiritual side of things, and nothing that we're saying is new, but where we're trying to do it. And I haven't met anyone else who's in the same mindset yet. Is we're looking at it from all directions. Like, we're looking into like the conspiracy gravy, like Mount Meru, and, you know, understanding, you know, what the North Star is and how it connects to the, you know, to the soft spot in your mind or the anterior fontanelle in your skull, and how there's a one-to-one ratio with that, and understanding the spirals in the body, and understanding, you know, the constellations in relationship to the body in ways that's not like, all right, you know, we're going to realign you. We're going to move through all of it as one unit. So anyway, it's really fascinating because she gets it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Cause it's funny because Sharon and I are similar to that, but instead of in the physical, we talk a lot more about, I guess you could say, spiritual or just the unseen, because we look at all these different ideas. We'll read from the Bhagavad Gita, the Bible. We'll look at like Buddhism, the Taoists. We'll look at David Koresh, you know, like because what I've found is that truth is really everywhere. And a lot of people use truth, but then they also will use it as bait when they put a little hook in it and then they get you hooked. But what we do is we try to sift through all that stuff and find common ground, really. And
totally,
because like you were saying earlier about everybody has their own way. It's like there's this saying that basically there's one mountaintop, but many paths up it, you know? And I think if we're all kind of guiding each other or helping each other, it's a lot better than arguing. And again, like you guys were saying earlier, none of us are healing anyone. You know, none of us are doing it ourselves. We're just there to kind of, it's just stuff we've done. So we're like, hey, you know, it's just like if you like to play basketball and you try to help somebody get better or whatever it is, it's the same thing. But this way, it's just about the body like you do, and then the mental and all that stuff. And it's really, I see it, we're just kind of elevating everybody up by us elevating ourselves.
100%. And
with the NPC thing, I've been starting to look at them kind of more just like children, because not in a condescending way, but there's a way of understanding those, a lot of these people, because of the way we're raised, they just stay infantilized. Like, they're just like, go to school these days. I mean, it's, you know, it's insane. They just want everybody to be a child. So a lot of people grow up, their bodies grow up, but their minds don't grow up. And then if that happens, then their bodies probably grow up in an imbalanced way because they're not in the present moment, like you were saying.
Right.
So, because I heard somebody talking about NPCs recently, and that's the thing. Oh, you think they're real or they're just part of the program and all this stuff? I'm like, no, they're just on a different level than you. And you can't just have that mindset because you know what's next. Oh, now it's okay to murder them. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever it is. It's like, no. Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing too, man. It's like, you know, I've really thought about this whole mindset of like somebody who's been like a child, so comforted. And I always use it as like the Santa Claus analogy that I always have. It's like, okay, you get a kid every year who's just so excited for this present moment, but it's an external materialistic present. And you just tell them like, this is what life is. This is what matters. This is what matters. And now all of a sudden it's going, you pull the rug from underneath them at some point, or however they find out, it's going like, I can't hear what you're saying right now. You're telling me something that I cannot process. Cause I've been told for 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years of life for some of these kids that this is true. Like you made this reality. You literally performed to make this me believe what we believe. You can't just come and tell me this now, dude. And now if you get somebody else who comes in, who's not a parent, and it's going, some kids, if they want to be cool in school, they're like, oh, I can't let everyone know that I still believe, so there's that differences. But which I think is also helpful because it's like, you know, you get a friend who's like, yeah, dude, we didn't actually go to the moon, man. And it's going like, I don't want to be the only one in this room who believes it, man. Cause you know, but albeit it's like really, like you said, understanding a child, like they can't comprehend this, especially if like, they're like, dude, no, you don't understand. I've been Santa's helper for the last 6 years. I put the cookies out. I do this. Like, it's like people work in some of these jobs. They're like, no, I work for that company. I know what we're doing. Santa's eating the cookies, dickhead. You know what I mean? And it's like, you realize it's like, oh man, they can't hear it. And people be like, you know, like I'll get like, you know, everything. I'm like, dude, I worked in a field where I literally found out a lot of the stuff we were doing isn't helping people as a whole, which is feeding, you know, reconstructive, you know, like hip surgeries, knee surgeries, Achilles ruptures, you know, torn ligaments, you know, a herniated disc. Like, we're feeding that. I had to take a step back and go, dude, I was wrong. So it's not that I don't know how to be wrong. I had to admit to myself, and I've lost, I guess, friends in that world who just don't want to hear what I'm saying. Cause I'm like, we're not helping. If you're happy doing it, by all means, keep doing it. But if you're in pain, just know that's a communication that we're just ignoring at this point. But albeit it's going like, I'll admit when I'm wrong. It's not that. It's just a matter of, for a lot of people, it's going, no, I can't hear this. And now when you get an adult, it's going like, you know, I can't hear you saying this to me right now, man. And you're like, dude, I get it. So what do they do is they get deeper into it. You know, they, you know, we call them NPC. They stay in that vibration. It's going, look, I'm not here to change your mind. I always tell people, I'm like, I don't care to change your mind. You believe it. Or one of the things I do is I go, when I talk to people, I'll be like, look, you know, this is kind of what's happening. And I'll kind of give something like, look, it is what it is. And then I'll just keep going on. Like, I'll be like, look, we didn't go to the moon. It is what it is. And like, yeah, we did. I'm like, I mean, whatever you want to believe, man, but it is what it is. And so people are like, if you kind of undermine it, people are like, you know, what? We didn't? How? You're going to do me like that, bro? And, but if you make it subtle, some people are able to be like, oh, okay. So anyway, ranting.
No, it's great. The funny thing about this statement about we went to the moon is I think it's true metaphorically for this society.
Totally.
We
dude.
Did go to the moon, baby. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like,
totally. Yeah,
just,
I mean,
like, click a button and have anything come to your house in a day or two. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we went to the moon. Just not to the moon.
Well, that's the part of the discernment, right? Like discerning what we meant by the things. And that's a great point, dude. Like we did go to the moon in many ways, but it's knowing how to discern a lot of it. Like, oh, you know, for example, like I always tell people, like the more I think about, you know, the spinning ball, like are we on a physical globe, like a physical material globe? No, I don't. From what everything I've gathered, I do not think so. That seems doubtful. But when you understand that Earth is an anagram of heart, and you understand that the heart is a vortex, it is going through these oscillations. It's not a pump. It's a vortex. And it literally goes like this in the heart. It does. This is what's happening inside the heart every single time you breathe. It's going, well, that creates a toroidal field, which if you look at their diagrams and things like that, they're showing this toroidal field action. So yes, I guess in some ways there is this spiraling that is occurring that is creating this realm, that is creating this place we call Earth, i.e. the heart. So they're not wrong. So I have to take a step back and go, okay, yeah, we are in many ways in this constant vortex. Everything in motion is vortex if it's moving efficiently. And it's going, all right, I guess you're right. In some ways, there is constant spinning that is occurring. That being said, it's not what you're telling me. You're telling me a partial truth. So, you know, that's the beauty of this whole thing is learning how to use this discernment, you know, the trivium, quadrivium and all that.
Yeah, 100%.
There could always be some truth to something.
Yeah.
And so that's why we don't like to make claims on this show. And we like to speculate, contemplate, philosophize, and
ask a lot of questions.
Yes,
totally. Well, I was going to say, I might be throwing some claims out here, but the ones that I try to back up is like stuff that I can, again, we can prove, like,
well, experience, right? If you, that's the thing. That's why we also include sharing our own experiences, because we're not making claims per se in the sense of like, oh, it's like this and it's always like this and it's like this for everyone, like mm-hmm. no collective answer for everybody, right? But right. we share our own experiences and we say, look, I saw this, I experienced this, I went through this. So this is how it was for me. It may be similar for you at some point, it may not, but mm-hmm. I'm just telling you what I experienced. So
totally. This,
that's what oversharing is all about.
I love it. I love it. And that's the beauty of it is, and let me ask you guys this, if it's okay, do you find yourself with this not making claims and just asking a lot of questions? Like, do you guys get to like, okay, what are the claims that I can make that I know for a fact are true? Like, do you guys ever like break down like claims of like, this is what we know? Anything like, do you ever get to those points of like the stuff that you talk about?
Yeah, I think because of like Sharon was saying with the experiential thing, we could make certain claims and say, we know this. And then if this, therefore that, you know, and you could just kind of build on it because of that. And it's funny with the point of view thing. It's just like Star Wars when Luke gets mad at Obi-Wan and he's like, I thought you said Darth Vader killed my father, Anakin Skywalker. And he's like, well, he did from a certain point of view. You know what I mean? So right. both those statements are true, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Sharon, about making claims?
I was going to say we haven't ever done where we specifically say, okay, we're going to take this and we're going to say, okay, what claims can we make? We've never mm-hmm. really done something like that.
Yeah. No, it's valid. I always just ask because like that for me is always like, can we get to certain truths? Like, can we get to like some, like we, there's no one can sit here and have a conversation and question it. And that's why for me, like, I always talk about the body. And that's why, like, for me, I'm willing to like go on a limb and give things. It's like, okay, when you come into this world, you breathe. The first thing that gives you life is the breath. You know, when you're coming in, you take that first breath, you're here. The last thing you have is a breath when you leave, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, no one can question that. Like, if you're still breathing, you're still here. Yeah. If you're not breathing, you're not here. If you stop breathing and then you come back again, it wasn't your last breath. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like,
right.
those are truths that we can have. If right. your heart is not, you know, your heart completely stops and it stays stopped and it doesn't come back, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's what makes you here. Again, that's the present moment. That's why the breath is so important. Listening, pay attention to your heart rhythm when you're, you know, under a lot of stress, that's going to put you in the present moment, because that's all we have really. Like, if you take a moment to think about it, like, that's really what you have to let you know you're here in this space. So for me, I always try to get to that place. And I realize a lot of stuff's comes back to the body. You know, obviously you can look at it like, hey, the sun's going to rise, the sun's going to set, you know, the moon's going to go through its phases. It's going to, you know, and continue on. But that is for me why I try to like, I try not to make claims, but in certain situations I do, you know.
Well, it's easier for you to make those claims because you're talking about a lot of physical things, right? Brendan and I end up talking a lot about spiritual and esoteric thoughts. So
right.
we don't necessarily get into things like that, which, because our stuff is very like, you know, mm-hmm. not, you can't like hone something down a lot. But like for, you know, the stuff you talk about, it's literally touch yourself, right? You know, like you can mm-hmm. feel this body here that you have. So right. you can make those kinds of claims because everyone has a physicality to them.
Totally. You know?
So it's easier to do.
It tees up for the conversations you have though. So I'm like, yeah, no, you feel your body. Like, wow, this is amazing. Yeah, great. I'm like, good. Go talk to those guys. They're going to take you to the next level. Yeah. You're gonna go to the third row, take a left, and they're in aisle two. Trust me, they got some good. They have quite the gravy selection you would like to have. So what are some of the deep dives you guys have recently in that world been going into?
One thing that we talked about that might trigger some people, and this just popped in my head, so I'm going to talk about it, is there's a certain character that gets very demonized that lived in our past, allegedly. This guy. And a lot of people just like to say his name and throw him around and say he's the ultimate evil person. And we've looked into some things, and I'm not saying he was like a good guy, but I also don't think he was the super bad guy, because the people that he hung around with. So I'm talking about Aleister Crowley or Crowley, however you want to say it. So he's allegedly hung out with people like Walt Disney and Wernher von Braun and all these people. And if you think about all the people he hung out with, none of them are demonized by who? The media, right? The media and the Pope, they all demonize Aleister Crowley, because we came across this information because one of his books that he wrote was about magic, right? It talks all about these different magical procedures. And what we found out is this book was used to be one big book, but it was split into four pieces. And a lot of people, because they either don't read it or they don't look far enough into it, they think that this was all the stuff he was into, but it was really just a catalog of all the stuff he found. And again, I'm not saying he's this great guy in here. And that's what I try to tell people. It's like, you got to stop putting people on a pit or a pedestal if you want to really look at who they were. And so he basically documented all this stuff, right? Child sacrifice, all this stuff. But at the end, in the fourth chapter, he says that he's like, you know, he doesn't
fourth believe book.
What's that?
Because they split it up.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. In the fourth book. So it's a book. And if you want to get this book, it's like $400 on Amazon, right? So this will tell you something. But in the end,
he at least like, the last time you looked.
Yeah, that was the last time I looked. In the end, in that book, he talks about how he's not really a fan of all this. He actually even talks bad about black magic. And again, maybe he's just lying because he's a magician. But he does name a certain tribe of people and says that these people are the ones historically who did the child sacrifice and all this stuff. And their name, it begins with a J, you know.
Right.
So that leads me to believe, like, okay, so if he was talking about the Jays, you know, was he just this guy? He was a trust fund
the
baby.
Jay-Z's.
The Jay-Z's. Yeah, the Jay, exactly. Yeah, I have a joke. I just wrote it in a letter I have to Owen that'll probably get and maybe hopefully read Monday. But I said, one of my jokes was, I came up with this joke, and it's, I found that in life is the quest for truth in life is truly one from A to Z. Unfortunately, a lot of people get stuck on the J's.
That's actually really funny, dude.
Yeah,
that's really funny.
I think he'll like that. So it's what really I'm saying actually. Is, though, because I like that one. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks. I actually plan on getting back into doing comedy again. I've been writing a lot of stuff, and I think that's something I'm going to say. I might have to switch it up around, though, just so people exactly get what I'm talking about, because people that are normies might not understand what I mean, but I'll think of a way. Really what it is it seems that people are using Aleister Crowley or whoever as a conduit for their hate, you know, and they're like this evil guy, and they just keep saying his name. And I'm like, you're kind of giving it life, all that evil. And then what if he wasn't the evil person you thought he was? He was just a normal guy who had all this money, and maybe he had these crazy proclivities, but if he didn't really sacrifice children, and he was actually pointing out the people who did, because allegedly he was even anti-Zionist, because back in the 1900s, that's when all the Zionism was starting to come around. You know, like the Balfour Declaration and all that
stuff.
That's
where the Z comes in for the Jay-Z's.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jack and Jay-Z. That makes you think about that song. That's something we've been talking about. But it's sometimes we talk about these really hot button topics, and that's why we don't make claims, because we don't want to fall on one side or another. It's not like I'm a proponent of Aleister Crowley. Now, I do like his tarot deck, and I have seen some things that he says that make a lot of sense. Dude. You know what I mean? But I'm not saying like, oh, he's the ultimate way or whatever. I think he was just a person in history, you know?
Well, dude, that's the beautiful thing about, I mean, I will say, not to bring it back up, but this directly ties to what you're saying. Like this stuff with Owen, like when you see his journey and you see what he's going through and you see how he gets smeared, you can realize if you have this ability to use logic and reasoning, even discernments going, okay, well, I know a lot of stuff that's being said is not quite true, but they're taking truths of things like anything else. And you're going, now I put myself 100 years from now, Owen's this Aleister Crowley type. Exactly. And it's going, and it's genuinely going, how is that going to be viewed? And it's going, well, I was there during it. I saw everything. No, people are very, very close to him, much closer than I am, and they're witnessing these things with him firsthand. It's not even close, but they're taking pieces, you know, this and that. They're seeing a Barataria 100 years from now. They're seeing him, you know, a article about him. They're saying, you know, whatever, Ruby Ridge type thing, like all this stuff. And you go, okay, I see that's not true. Therefore, now let me look at like an Aleister Crowley. Like, yeah, are there some weird stuff that happened? Probably. Or, you know, did Owen have like a promiscuous life in Hollywood? Sure. So, you know, it's going, okay, there's some truths, and it's going, was this person perfect? No, but it's going, like you said, hey, there's some gravy in here, man. Not, is this person overall a bad person? I don't know per se, if I didn't, and I didn't know Aleister Crowley or anyone close to him, but it's like, yeah, it's, you'll be able to go, can I discern? Can I really take a moment to look at what is being said, pick out the truth in all of it? And if you can do that, if we could do that, man, that's the beauty of this whole thing. Then now that's in my mind, this quote unquote level up. It's going like, hey, I can take the information. It's like, all right, this jives with me, or this makes sense, or this doesn't really jive. All right, I get what he's saying. I don't fully get behind. Maybe if this is his point of view, I'm not really fully into it, but I'm like, I get where he's going with it. Great. Or she's going with it. Awesome. So that's the cool thing about having this bear community and just seeing Gowen's experiences, because at least for me, that helps me with all of this stuff. Even like the people's, like the Gates and the Faucis and things like that. Like, you know, yeah, they're, you know, are they signing off on certain things on the surface and what it appears to be? Yeah. Do I think they're good people? As of now, no. I have yet to think otherwise. Do I think that there's certain aspects of what they're saying? Like, yeah, that's a decent point. But do I see maybe where they're taking it and I don't agree with that? Absolutely. It's no different. It's just being able to go, as you said, am I going to give life to this guy? You know what I mean? Am I going to give life to these people? And it's going, no, I want to give my life to people like you. And, you know, in these conversations, and that's where I want my actual energy to go towards. And that's the hope, it sounds like, with you guys too.
Yeah, totally. And another thing I just want to throw in there too, just to finish up the Aleister Crowley thing, was it seems that from what I've looked into and seen, that he believed in, and this is where I disagree, right? Because there's this stuff that's called the great work. Some people that are the they and the them, they have come to this conclusion by studying history and all this stuff, that there's certain ages and epochs. And one of them is like an age of chaos and craziness. Sound familiar? But they felt like if that was ushered in, then after that would come the golden age. So I think there's people even today that are the theys and the thems that are trying to wake people up, not in a way that I agree with, but they're trying to do it with medical experiments and, all these ways of making them do certain things, because so many people, think about 2020, it was actually a boon, especially for people in our society, people like Owen Benjamin. It was like the best thing that happened because we found our tribe. So many of us are crushing because of that since then, because we can't rely on the normal system like we used to, or we were maybe just comfortable and we were shaken out of our comfortability and we were perturbed. And now we were like, we're taking action. And, you know, it was all good action. That was like a hill to grow on, that type
totally,
of stuff.
Totally, dude. Yeah. Totally. Just the amount of, like, I always tell people, like, even like we all have been through some craziness with the 2020 stuff and had our maybe ups and downs, but I still tell people, I'm like, even with all that craziness, man, I loved the journey, because it's only helped me in so many ways, not even just in regards to like crushing, but knowing also how to grow from my own personal experiences of like people close to my life, and how do I handle situations? How do I handle stress? How do I look at myself with a critical lens and being like, look, man, that's maybe not the best way to handle it. Do you want to move forward with that mindset? Do you want to be able to, are you coming from despair and being honest with myself and going like, yeah, man, I don't really want to be like that. That's so gamma. Like, okay. All right, here I go. Like, you know, like, let me make the change. And when you can actually get to that place, like, it's like, this wouldn't have happened if it didn't happen the last 2, 3 years. And it's like, for that, I'm grateful. You know what I mean? It's like the good and the bad. And that's just goes to show you, it's like, you need both. If everything's always good, like obviously if everyone's always crushing, if we were all in this community, and obviously to have like the camp and the festivals is great, but if we all lived together all the time in this quote unquote harmony, like, yeah, would it be awesome? But would conflict arise? Of course. It happens all the time in the community. So it's inevitable, but it's what isn't inevitable, or I guess, let me rephrase that, with that inevitability, how do we approach it? That's what's going to change and how we handle that. And that's the beauty of this whole thing. And I'm kind of just piggybacking what you're saying, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
We kind of act like adults now. You know, we'll have disagreements and all this stuff, but we'll come at it from more of a adult point of view instead of, Sharon, exactly. Jeff, something you're going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, we, like you touched on despair and fear and stuff, and that's something we also talk a lot about on the show. And, you know, like, not despairing, and don't go there to the, don't like bend the knee to the fear, you know? So that's something else we talk about. What were you guys just talking about right now? wasn't a piggyback off that
conflicts too. Arising and stuff like that in the
community. Yeah, because like Brandon was saying, we're now like adults now, and we should be able to approach things with maturity instead of like arguing and fighting about something stupid. We can say, okay, look, what was it that happened? And this is something I can speak to from experience, just from my current relationship, is that if I find something that I am upset about, or that something that bothers me, I can bring it up and then we can address it. And mm-hmm. then he can ask me, okay, like, what was that upset? Like, what part of that upset you, right. or what was it? And then I can explain it, and there's no judgment. There's just a right. listening and appreciation of what that person experienced. And then there's the feedback of like, okay, my intentions were not there. That's not what I meant.
Right.
And this is what I meant to do. And, you know, and then there's a little period of like reconciliation of like, okay, it's going to be okay. You know, everything's all right type of thing. So instead of approaching it in a, like a, you know, you did mm-hmm. this to me and you don't care and you're this, that, and the other. And instead of that, you appreciate the other person's point of view. You listen
right.
and you can both talk it through and get through it. And like, you level up when you do that.
Totally. I agree. I also think, and maybe to some degree, you guys can get behind it too. Like when you go through that process, and we're all constantly in it, but like even in relationships, is like knowing when something comes into your field of like, oh, like you don't care, this and that, and just being able to stop. And even before you go like, look, can I want to talk to you about this, being able just with yourself, because remember, that's the voice in your head of like,
it's actually yourself.
I'm worthy. I'm grateful. I'm loved. I'm appreciative of this life. And then that other one being like, you're nothing. You no one loves you. Like all those things, being able to take those and go, okay, let me start here. You know, Dan, I'm not mad. Let me process this real quick. Okay. Voice, like, the devil and the angel being like, what's going on? Like, what are you doing? Why are you coming to me right now? What? And this is something that at least for me of getting to the point of when it is addressing time, it's going, look, I've gone through this process in my head. I've really tried to go inward with this situation and going, okay, this is something we need to talk about. I can't, I've gone through it out. Like, but again, it gives you the ability to go, I'm not mad. I'm just describing it. Because what happens right. most times in relationships when we don't do a lot of this work, is you said it comes in being like, I asked if you thought I was beautiful and you said, absolutely. But the way you pause after the A totally made me believe that you weren't. And it's just going like, what is going on? What? And then like, you know, just being able to stop and go like, this is all driven by, again, those voices, and not being able to take a moment with self and go, okay, I'm emotionally feeling a little bit this right now. Why am I getting to that space when they said something or she said something, and just being like, okay, this is the insecurity. All right, you're here. What's up? Why are you showing yourself? Right. Why are we having this conversation? Why am I feeling this? Cool. And then by the end of it, like, you know, anything, like after a conversation and people calm down, you can be like, look, sorry I blew up. It's not what I wanted. Here's what I've been trying to say the whole time. And it's going, how do we get to that place first? So no one's blowing up.
Right.
And it's not easy. It's, you know, I say this like it's easy. It's always a work in progress, but right. yeah, it's just trying to do it first with yourself. Yeah. Just learning how to, at least for me, it's going, how do I start with myself before I even address this other person? Because at least from my experiences is when I get in that space, then it's still, there's a dependency of like, okay, we're communicating, but every little thing that I might be having, I feel like if I haven't really addressed it myself, I don't know what I'm communicating to you. I really still don't know what I'm trying to communicate. I just felt this. Okay, well, that's not the case, but I still feel that way. Okay, well, why don't you address why you're still feeling that way? You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's just my own experiences.
Right. And I can relate. And it's like a recent experience for me, because something like that happened. And then I, because of the previous relationship I have, which was very, very rocky, there were times when I couldn't talk to the other person because they would just shut down. And so I was like, okay, so I guess I have to go into my own thoughts and figure stuff out. Right. So right. I've learned to be able to do that mm-hmm. and to process and like ask myself, well, why am I upset? What about that upset me so right. much? And I always know that it's about me. It's not about the other person. It's always about me. So what triggered me and why? Right. And then if it's still something that I want to address with the other person, because it's still something, then I can do that. So that recently happened. And awesome. I waited. I think I even waited a couple of days before I brought it up. And then I brought it up and he was like, oh, why didn't you tell me like when it happened? Like we like, you know, just because, you know, to get through it quicker. And I'm like, well, I actually had to process it a little bit. And then the timing wasn't necessarily right. We were having a good time, you know, and I didn't want to bring it up at that time. He's like, actually, that's really wise, you know, because, you know, you just and it was OK to wait, you know, and it just worked out.
Totally. And that's I think that's awesome. And I feel all of us, like myself included, like the more we can do that, like you said, Brandon, like you said, Sharon, like that's going to make us be adults. It's going to help that adult conversation that we're always striving for. But it's like no one else is going to save you, as Owen says. And a lot of people say no one else is here to come to save you. And even in this is no one's going to save you. No one's going to fix your problems within yourself. It's always going to, you know,
be you. You have to do it yourself.
And it's going like that communication with someone else isn't for them to then tell you, oh, that's not what I meant. You know, I'm not saying you personally, but like, oh, like, I'm sorry that I made you feel this way. It's like, no one's meant to be sorry here. It's just a matter of us going like, hey, man, this is what I felt was not my intention. You know, please understand that. No, I want you to know that's where I was. You know, but I still love you. We're good. I just, you know, moving forward. Can you do this? Not a problem. Can 100% do that. Boom.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, well, it's not that easy. And it's going, when you're in the headspace and you're in that body and mind present moment, a lot of times, and knowing how to deal with your stresses, it can get that easy.
Yeah.
It actually isn't as hard. It's the building up to it, I feel, is the challenge. But once you're in that and having that, you're like, we did good. That was a good experience.
Yeah.
Like, did you feel that?
Yeah.
And then you feel good around the other people, that you don't feel like you're restricted in what you can say or what you can't say. And, you know, no one's like judging, and it's hard, dude. Like I say this, like I have it all figured out. No, we still have our moments, but it's continually trying to get to that place. So when you do experience, you're like this gem of what this feels like. Let's do it again. If we feel ourselves in conflict, let's do it again. And now before you know it, it's nothing. So
yeah, it's exponential growth. Like it's totally like, and it's the bonding is amazing. Like you just, you bond so much better because you build that trust. You build that level of trust.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Sorry guys, I do have to run shortly, so I don't want to keep you guys any longer, but I do thank you guys so much for having me on. This was a great comment.
I wanted to get my allegedly hat on because I totally forgot to put it on earlier, but all that stuff I said, it's all alleged, everybody. I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't meet anybody. You know, this has been an amazing conversation. I'm so glad you did this. We got to link up again sometime and talk again. This is really great because it's really like a meeting of the physical and the spiritual, and we're talking about both. And I love your method that you have of reaching people. You show them, you know, you're not trying to tell them, which is amazing because we always talk about how we think words are garbled anyway because they have so many different meanings. But I do want to give a shout out to the chat. Thank you guys so much, because we premiere these and we hang out in the live chat every Thursday night at 8:33 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you're around, anybody who's around, check it out. It's a lot of fun. But where can people find you? Why don't you tell people that?
Thanks again for having me. I really appreciate it. You can find me at the Pat Life, PATLIFE.org. So it's the patlife.org. You know, we have preview episodes. All the episodes are up there. I do a lot of the training stuff. I do Zoom calls where we dive into specific ailments and disease and seeing how everything connects. I do once a month, like Zoom workout sessions. So people who want to see what I'm talking about can start doing these things on their own. We're going to be building a lot on that as well, but that's at thepatlife.org. It's $5 a month. You know, if you want to get the full episodes, you get it through there. But then you can also, I have a page on YouTube. I'm on unbearablesmedia.com, Instagram. It's the Pat Life. I can give you the handle for that and everything. But yeah, I would say, and I mean, you can just Spotify, Apple, all that. It's just the same title. So yeah, I would say, go check it out if you want to see. We cover a lot of topics and a lot of the similar ones. So we'll definitely, at some point, I'd love to have you guys on too. That'd be fun to have you on and talk about some of the spiritual side, because I'm always, I'm a newbie to all that. So I'm always happy to dive in.
Yeah, let me know. I find a lot of people go wrong because of the words. I'll just say this real quickly before you go. I say the New Age grabbles all these words, just like churchians grabble the words that are in the Bible. It's the, like when you hear somebody, John 3:16, and they're saying these things and you're like, oh, that's not what Jesus meant. It's the same thing with the New Age. They're like, oh, it's about karma and dharma. And you hear these words like prana Kundalini, and you're like,
and people freak out. You're like,
like, that's New Age. We're like, not exactly. It could be, you know, but just state what's true to yourself. What feels good to you in the intuition? Is it truth? Because they use that truth and they could hook you in, or you can use it for yourself to free yourself and not be a slave anymore. Allegedly. 100%.
Yeah. 100%. Could it be?
Could it
exactly.
Be?
So awesome. All right. Well, everybody, you know, you can find us at morelawsmoreproblems.com. Click on the oversharing tab and you can find us everywhere there. We're going to be re-releasing all the old episodes that we did from episode zero on our podcast in just an audio form. So go there and check it out. And what do we say to the good people, Sharon?
That if you're not oversharing,
then you're totally not caring.
That's right.
That's right. So don't be a Karen and overshare.
Yes, please.
Awesome. Good night.